Right, if you'll turn to the book of Judges. We're now about the 14th chapter here of the book of Judges. We're not going to start reading there. I'm going to read some over in the 15th chapter here in a few minutes. But we want to look at some lessons from Samson this morning. There's a lot of interesting characters in the Bible, like I've said many times. And Samson is, I guess, one of the real interesting ones. We'll get some lessons from him. And I'm going to tie this into a picture of a Christian today. We'll look at Samson as a picture of a I don't know where you'd call it a normal Christian or not, but a lot of Christians today is going to be similar to a lot of things that happens here in Samson's life. Dear Heavenly Father, help us as we look into your word. Give us understanding. Help us, Lord, to bring about what's needed that'll help your people and encourage them. Let each one draw closer to you, Lord. And we'll give you honor and praise for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in the last part of verse chapter 13, we see the birth of Samson here. And then you get on into the 14th chapter, and it starts out with him already grown. So we don't really know anything about his childhood, except that he was an answer from prayer. He had praying parents, and he had parents that wanted a son to give to the Lord, and they prayed for him and taught him right. We can tell that. There's lots of folks that way today that do have praying parents, and they got saved. And after they got saved, well, then they went up and down and up and down and in and out most of their life. And that's the way Samson was. So he does belong to God. He's a Nazarite set aside for the work of the Lord. He's one of the judges of Israel. And he judged Israel for 20 years or so, and he was a real mess. But he done some good things, and he done a bunch of bad things. And on down through his life, we're going to skip down through that first chapter and look on over here at about the 15th chapter, and we'll start reading just a little bit here. And Samson's already been through several things, and made a bunch of mistakes. And he has started doing a little bit of what he's supposed to. He's supposed to get rid of the Philistines there for God, you know, wipe them out and all this kind of stuff and rule Israel. And he has killed a bunch of them. But basically it was through the flesh type of thing. Wasn't really in the spirit. It wasn't really what the way God was leading him or anything. It was just, you know, up in the flesh and down in the flesh and this kind of thing. Let's get over here now to about chapter 15. We'll start reading down here about verse 14. When he came into Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramoth-Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance unto the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drank, his spirit came again, and he revived. Now notice what's taking place here. This ass is called in the Bible. It's a donkey or a mule. It had died, got killed, or something had happened to it. And here it lays where Samson's at. Now, right before this, he's been up on the mountain here, and these people up there delivered him down to the Philistines. And they had him bound up, and they delivered him down to the Philistines, and when he gets down there then, well, he's all tied up. He's bound. And here comes all these Philistines toward him. Now, there's a bunch of them. If he killed 1,000 of them, there's a lot of them. Amen. So here he is, and he looks around. He don't have no sword now. Don't have a sword to fight with. He's tied up. He sees all the enemy coming. So he looks around, and here's a pile of bones. Old dead donkey. And so he reaches down and picks up its jawbone. And so he's going to use this jawbone as a weapon. And as these Philistines is coming upon him then, he starts smiting with that jawbone. Now, if you know kind of what a jawbone is, about so long, you know, something like this, and kind of shaped like so, and he's got one end of it, and I don't know whether the teeth's still in it or not. You know, it may be, may not be. Anyway, he's holding this thing, you know. And here comes one, bang, here comes another, bang, you know. He's standing here, and he makes a pile of men. He says heaps upon heaps. So you got to try to get this picture here of this feller. Now, personally, myself, and I don't have anything to back this up, any scripture or anything, personally, I don't believe he's a big Hercules. I don't think he's the Hercules of Israel, like, you know, a lot of people think. See, maybe he was. He may have been a great big, you know, 8 foot tall feller, you know, with shoulders that wide and all the thing, but I don't think so. I think he was just an ordinary type man, maybe even kind of puny looking. The reason I think that is because any time that he done anything for God, he says the Spirit came upon him. So the Spirit came upon him, and he was doing this through the Spirit of the Lord. So if you look at the Bible and you go through the Bible and you see that God does not allow man to praise man. He don't put up with that stuff. Now, these men does it, but they don't get away with it. And so God doesn't allow that. So he's not going to raise up some great big old hunk of a man out here to where everybody looks at him and runs and scared of him, you see. He got some little fellow like Barney Fife, you know. And here he is, you know, and here he's got this jawbone of an ass. And here comes all these people after him. And he's just wiping them out, you know. Now, you get to thinking about that picture, and you think about, I don't know how many people there was. I figure there's more than 1,000. But he figures he kills 1,000 of them. Now, if you was in that number out here, I mean, and all your buddies here, and you got to climb up on them to try to get to him, you know, all these dead bodies, and you got 700 or 800 of them laying there, I don't believe I'd tackle the guy myself, you know. I mean, I think I'd look the situation over and think, you know, if he done wiped all these out, I believe I'll just go back home, you know, and just forget it for today. Maybe some other day I might try it different. But anyway, Samson here, he's wiping them out. Now, the first point of this thing is, Don't criticize the tools that you have to use. Amen? I mean, don't look down on the tool that God has given you. Whatever you've got to use, that's what you use. You go through the Bible and study the things that God uses, that He gives people. Amen? Don't criticize the tool. It's not the tool. Amen. That's important. It's the spirit of the man that's handling the tool is what's important. You take Moses over there, you know, when God was trying to get his attention and get him straightened out on this thing, you know, he said, what's that in your hand there? And Moses said, just a rod. God said, that'll do. We'll use that. Amen. He goes all through the Bible like that. God uses whatever man's got. Now, he didn't even have nothing. But God had him a jawbone laying there. And he said, hey, use that jawbone. And so he picks that thing up and starts wiping them people out. So don't criticize the tool. Don't belittle the tool. I mean, amen. Use what you got. Amen. There's some great deliverances that a person can have by using whatever God has given you. Amen? You can get some deliverance from sin in your life if you'll just use what God's given you. God has given us the Holy Spirit inside. And we have the Spirit of God inside of us. And that's what Samson had. And any time that he done anything right, done anything for God, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now, we don't have to depend on that today. We don't have to worry about the Spirit of the Lord coming upon us when we need him because we've already got him inside. Amen. Spirit of the Lord lives inside of us all the time. So anytime in any conflict or any problem comes up, we already have the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Only problem is we ourselves got to be... Excuse me. We got to be in the right shape ourselves. Amen. So we can get some deliverance from sin if we'll use what God gave us. He gave us His Word. He gave us the privilege of prayer to call upon Him. You see, we have all the tools that we need. A lot of folks today, you know, they make excuses. Well, I just can't do so-and-so. I can't. You can if God has you and wants you to do it. Amen. Because He's equipped you to do that. A lot of people have doubts and they have fears about things. You can overcome these things through prayer and through study of God's Word and through looking at what the Lord has you to be doing. So don't criticize the tool. You have a powerful tool in prayer. Amen? God listens to prayer when you're right yourself. Amen? So what we see here is after the great victory that he had, I don't know what the time element was on this thing, but it would take you a little while to knock off 1,000 fellers. You know, I mean, we're not talking about 10 minutes here, you know. It's going to take a while to do that. I mean, just to swing your arm 1,000 times is going to be kind of rough. So by the time this thing's over, see, the old boy is give out. I mean, he's done shot, you see. And he's starving. I mean, he's thirsting. He's probably sweated. Sweat run down his boots, you know. And I mean, he's about gone. And so what he does here then is he does something that's right. It says in verse 18 there, he was sore athirst. Amen. So now we have a new trouble that comes up. So anytime that you're doing something for God, even when you conquer the enemy, there'll be a new trouble that'll come up. So he had a new problem come up first. And here he is out here wherever he's at, and he's not next to no good spring nowhere. And he's out here thirsting, and he's just about to choke to death. And so he does the right thing. He called on the Lord. Amen. So that's what you do when you have a new problem come up after a victory or before a victory. Whenever a new trouble comes up, what do? Well, you call on the Lord, of course. So he called on the Lord. And then, of course, you know, he tells God, he reminds him about the great deliverance that he's given him. And talking about himself there and his servant. And God then shows him over here where there's some water and a bone. A bone there, and it's caught some water, and so he has something to drink out of that thing. So then he gets fresh energy. He's ready to go again. Well, there's a picture of this. Is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God and the Lord reviving you and allowing you then to go on and do what he wants for you to do. But the next thing that happens in his life is, and you jump on down to the next chapter, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in into her. He falls off of the wagon again. See, that's just like so many Christians today. God blesses them. They triumph over a victory. They conquer a sin. They conquer a temptation. They're riding up here on the mountaintop, and everything's looking pretty good. And the first thing you know then, bang, they done backslid again. What he done? He goes down here and he sees his harlot, and he goes into her. My, what a mess. So that's the way this guy is, you see. And that's the way so many Christians is today. And I'm not saying a lot of the Christians goes and lays with a harlot. That's just a picture of any type of sin. It don't matter what they do, if they do something wrong, then they went back on God. God's a blessing here, and God's wanting him to go on and start delivering. Samson was busy throwing his life away. Amen. Throwing his talents away. When he could be used of God, amen, to call a nation to repentance. That's what God wanted him to do. He wanted him to call the nation to repentance. That's what he had him there for. He had him there as the judge of Israel, and he's supposed to be doing that, and he's out here throwing his life away. Amen. You need to avoid a wasted life. Amen. Wasted time. Wasted talents. God gives everybody some talent, whatever it is. And God blesses you with that thing, and he wants you to use that for him. Amen. And he gave him some talent also. And he wanted him to use that for him. But he's out here wasting it, you see. And instead of following God, he's following the flesh. See, your biggest problem is your flesh. And that was his biggest problem. All through the Bible you find this thing. And so he's following the flesh. He's fulfilling his fleshly desires. Too many of us has done the same thing. Now, we may not have done this type of fulfilling fleshly thing, but we've fulfilled the flesh in some other way that was wrong. Amen. And if you're not careful, you do that thing, you see. Amen. So he goes on, and he don't listen to God. He don't do what he's supposed to be doing. In other words, where the Bible teaches over there to be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, this is what he's doing. And that's the same thing with Christians today. Too many times they would seem like they'd rather hang around with the world than they would hang around with God's people. They can be saved. You got to work with them. You got to deal with them. But they don't have to be your best hangout buddies. Amen. And that's the way that Samson was. He was a traveling man. I mean, he went all the time. And the thing about it is, a lot of places he went and the things that he did was wrong. So he just keeps going and keeps going and keeps doing all these things, that's wrong. All right. Finally, then, this woman here that he gets fooled with here, Delilah, she's a wicked old gal. And he hangs around with her a way too long. And what she's doing, you see, is the devil starts using her through some other men, and they want to know where his strength lies. Now, his strength lies in the Lord, even though it's in his hair, because he's a Nazarite and didn't cut his hair. That's just a symbol of how God used it. But his strength lies in the Lord. And he, you know, he fools with her for off and on there, you know, two or three times, telling her this and telling her that, you know, not telling her the right thing. But finally then, he tells her where his strength is at. Tells her, you know, my hair's never been cut, you know, I'm a Nazarite, and kept all these vows and all that stuff, even though he didn't keep all of them. So finally she figures out, he's finally told me the truth. So what she does then is she gets somebody in there to cut his hair. And let's read a little bit of this here. Jump down here to about verse, well, let's read this last part. About verse 15 here in chapter 16. She said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and has not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. In other words, if you sow sin, you're going to reap suffering. And that's what he's fixing to do. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, he told her all his heart and said unto her, thou hast not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me. I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he was not that the Lord was departed from him. There's a sad statement. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. So what we see here is she caused him to sleep. He laid his head on her lap, and he's taking a nap there. And she calls in this feller, and he comes in, and he shaves the old boy's head. And Samson, of course, you know, sound asleep. He must have been a sound sleeper, man. I mean, somebody shave you all the hair off your head and you not even wake up. And shaved his head, you know. And he wakes up and he don't even realize that the Lord has departed from him. He's going to walk out there and just do like that, you know, cause all them people to run because they don't know what he's done. And these are some that's probably seen all that other stuff and said, man, I ain't going to tackle this guy, you know. So he walks out there. They pounce on him and he can't do a thing. When you lose your strength from God, when you get back into sin, when you get to the place to where the Lord says don't go, you're sowing sin, you're going to reap some suffering. You're going to have some pain and agony. You're going to have some problems, brother and sister. And you know that because you done been there. All of us has. And you know that happens. And that's what happened. The same thing happens today to folks. You know, you go along pretty good for a while, and things is going pretty good. The first thing you know, you done fouled up before you even realize it. And you don't have the strength of God right then, and you really need him right then. And he needed him right then, but he didn't have him. And so what they done, they come in and got him, and notice what they done. They put out his eyes. So the first thing that happens when you get away from God is you go back into darkness. So they put out his eyes, and they bound him, and he did grind. So what we have here is the blinding and the binding and the grinding. Amen? And these three things. We got the blinding first. So they put his eyes out. Amen. Now he comes back somewhat later. We'll get to here in a few minutes. But once that you lose your eyesight, you get back into the place to where you should not be. I'll read you some verses over here in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to notice what it says here that we're supposed to do as Christians. As Christians. And it says here, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, you got saved now. Now that you're saved, it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian's supposed to do, see. He's supposed to add these things to him. But then notice verse 9 here. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. That's what happened to him. See, he's blind. He couldn't see afar off. He forgot that he was purged from his old sin. Why? Because he was back in the world again. Amen? And the devil had control of him, leading him around. Put out his eyes. He couldn't see what direction to go in. And after they'd done that, it says here that they bound him. Amen. They bound him. Bound down. And that's a sad position to be in when you're bound down. Amen. Bound down. And let's notice over here, I'll read you something else where he talks about this over in Lamentations chapter 1. Verse 14 says, the yoke of my transgression is bound. By his hand they are weathered and come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, from whom I am not able to rise up. You see, God sometimes will allow these things to happen to you. God will allow you to get bound because you bind yourself. Amen? That's what's taking place right here. So, what he does here, he binds. Amen? He chokes, no strength. You can't be delivered because you're delivered to the enemy. And you can't get up. You can't get out, you see. So that's what happened to him here. He's bound. He's bound down. And then he's grinding at the mill. And over in Numbers 32, it says, be sure that your sin will find you out. And that's what happened. That's what happened to him, you see. Here he is, supposed to be God's man, and he is. Supposed to be doing what God wants him to be doing, belonging to the Lord, and getting himself in this kind of problem. Now, this wasn't one of them type of things that just, bang, all at once, here he is, jumped into a cesspool of sin. He caused all this stuff himself. Now, listen to me careful. I realize everything that happens to you is not your fault. Everything that happens you don't cause. I understand that. I realize there are some things that comes up on you that the devil caused or whatever, or the Lord allowed, maybe testing you or trying you out on something. But many of our problems we cause. And that's what he done. He caused these things over a gradual long period of time. Long lifetime of in and out. A long lifetime of standing for God and doing what God wanted him to do, and then back out here doing what he wanted to do. And all this stuff finally then catches up with him. And bless your heart, that's the way life is. And life eventually will catch up with you. Now, you may not wind up in a place like this, but then again, who knows how you're going to wind up. So he winds up down here in this place, but the last verse there that we didn't read a minute ago, in verse 22 of chapter 16 says, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." So his hair started growing back out. Now, it's amazing to me that all these Philistines, they realized that that's where his power was. And when they see that hair growing back out, you would think, they'd think, "Now, this old boy's hair's growing back out. We better shave that back off. He's liable to get stout again." You know? But for some reason, it just don't dog on them. You know? They just let the thing go. So after a while, you know, the hair's growing out on the old boy. I don't know the time element on this thing, how long it takes. Mine grows real fast, man, but some folks don't. I get a haircut about every 2 weeks. But anyway, his grows fast, see, I guess. But anyway, however long time period it is, he's spending this time in jail. He's spending this time making sport. They bring him out there, you know, to grind around on the wheel like he used a donkey, you know, to run around and around on this thing. They hook him to it, you know, "Get on there, boy, go on there," you know, and just laughing at him, having a big time, making fun of him. Just like the world does to you and I when we get in this kind of shape. Amen? So now he is out here and finally bringing him out again to make sport. So they bring him out there, and here he is blind. Now he can't see what's going on. He can't even see where he's at. He can't see nothing. He don't know what's happening. And here's this little boy, maybe leading him. Who knows? He's right there next to him somewhere. And he asks this little lad, he says, "Take me over to where the pillars is that holds this auditorium up." And so the boy takes him over there to it. And here in his last days, he prays a prayer for vengeance. And God answers it. Now, if anybody ever asked you these religions that teaches that suicide, people that commit suicide goes to hell, you can take this right here and prove them wrong. I mean, God answered his prayer and gave him the prayer to commit suicide, and he didn't go to hell because he was God's man. So, You shouldn't commit suicide, but I mean, if you do, you do. And a lot of folks does. But anyway, that has nothing to do with it. But here he is, and he prays this thing, you see. And he's dying with the Philistines. But the thing I want you to see on this also is, he dies prematurely. No doubt he would have lived longer. Amen? If he had stayed with God, if he had done the things he's supposed to do, and judged Israel like he's supposed to, went on through his life living for the Lord, he may live to be a ripe old age. But here he is now, see, dying young. I believe there's many Christians that dies prematurely. I believe after a while, you know, God just gets tired of fooling with some, you know, and they won't do right, and they're saved, but they just won't do right, they won't live right, they won't do what God wants them to do. And after a while, God says, "I'm tired of fooling with you." Zap. He just takes you on home, and that's it. When you could have had several years left later. There's different places in the Bible that proves that. So here he is dying young and dying prematurely when he didn't have to die at that particular time. But anyway, Here he is exerting his energy for Satan. Amen. Rather than the service for the Savior. Even though he's killing a bunch of them. In other words, he's a dying with the enemy. He's a dying with the Philistines. So there's a lot of Christians out there that's dying with the enemy. Amen. They're dying with the ones that they're supposed to be trying to save. They're dying with them because they lived with them, because they worked with them, because they didn't do what they're supposed to, and they're dying with them the same way. It's a sad situation, folks. And I want to give you one more thing about this lesson on Samson. Him and Christ has a lot of things that's similar. They both births were foretold by an angel. I mean, Samson's was, and the Lord Jesus Christ's was. Both was separated to God from the womb. Amen? Samson and the Lord Jesus Christ, both. Both were Nazarites. Amen. Both moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus Christ always moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. Samson, when he moved and done anything right, he was in the power of the Holy Spirit. Both of them was rejected by their own people. He's rejected by his. Christ was rejected by his. Both destroyed or will destroy their enemy. Samson destroyed his enemy. Christ will destroy his enemy. But let's notice some other things that's not the same. Samson lived a life of sin, up and down all the time, in and out. Christ, of course, never sinned. Samson's prayer here was for revenge. Let me kill them all, Lord. Jesus Christ's prayer was, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hey, some differences there. Amen. Samson's arms was outstretched there in wrath to destroy. The Lord Jesus Christ's arms was outstretched in love to save. There's some great lessons that we can learn here from Samson. I hope that you got some of them. I hope that you realize here that Christians today is like this a whole lot. They're up and down, they're in and out all the time. And if you're not careful, you'll wind up going home early by not living for the Lord. Samson went home early because he didn't live for the Lord. Also, he didn't obey his parents in the right way. Amen. He had good parents. He had good praying parents that prayed for him and tried to get him to do right all the time. But he didn't listen. Amen. Folks, it's that way today. It's my life. I'll live it the way I want to. That's the way most folks are. But it's not your life. If you're saved, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. You belong to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are His. Amen. And if you have children, God give you them children to raise for Him. Take this child and raise it for me. Amen. You're supposed to raise that child for Him. That's the way it's set up. And how many fails? Everybody. But we need to shape up and do the best we can. Amen. And try to live for the Lord. Try to stay in the Spirit of God. Try to follow the leadership of the Lord all that we can. Amen. If you're not doing that, or at least trying to, I know you're not doing it all the time, but at least trying to. We need to try to live right. Try to do right. At least have your motive right. Amen. When you get a soul. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll take this scattering message, Lord, and use it for your honor and glory. I pray, dear Lord, that everyone here is saved and knows it. I don't want us, Lord, to be like Samson in the sense of up, down all the time. I realize, Lord, that we are. And I pray, Lord, that we'll stay more faithful, stay reading your word, stay witnessing, stay in an attitude of prayer. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that each one individually and as a family and a church would do this, especially in these last days, Lord, when you're soon coming. Help us, Lord, to stand for you the way we should. We'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, if you would. If you need to come and pray while we...